Well, good morning. Wow, those of you who braved the snow to come to church on a holiday, like there have to be major extra points in heaven for that. I don't know. I don't really think there's a point system, but I want to say good job. Good job. And what a great way to start the new year. I don't know how many of you remember when I was growing up, there was this thing in church circles where you would ring in the new year together. Does anybody remember that? Yeah, like at midnight, you would all come to church at like 11 o'clock at night, and you would pray in the new year together. And I remember even as a kid thinking, this is way cool, because I was never allowed out of the house after about 9:30 at night. So to me, it felt like a treat, even if we were praying in the new year. I was like, hey, I'm with my friends. I'm happy, you know. But just good job for coming to church today. And for those of you kids who are here, who filled out your joy page, you circled all of your 10 joys, and you circled your 2 nativities. Look at the prize I have for you today. Oh yeah, a spinner. And there's all different colors. So you can pick a color, and these are supposed to last for 3 or more minutes. If you hold them and you spin them, they spin on their own for 3 or more minutes. So that's gonna be fun. You can come pick out your color after church today. Good job. There's all different colors. I like this one. There's all different fun colors. So come and have fun with that. Good job on finding joy. How many of you are still finding joy? Yeah, I am too. Kim and I were talking today though. How many of you, if you're being honest, you have a little bit of a carb hangover right now? Yeah, too much bread, too many Christmas cookies. I'm not a bread eater to begin with, but those cookies, like, were calling my name every day. I'm like, just one cookie today, and then they're way good. And so, and then, of course, my kids wanted me to make French toast casserole for Christmas morning. That was so good, but I made too much. So what does that mean? I have a lot of leftover that I've been nibbling off of all week. Not good, not good, but tomorrow's a new year, right? We get to start brand new. It's good. So today I'm going to talk about how to find joy in looking ahead. Now, if you've been around for any amount of time on this earth, you probably go into New Year's differently than you did when you were a kid. Because when you were a kid and New Year's was happening, you're like, it's all good. It's like all exciting, all fun, you know, only great things can happen in the coming year. But once you've lived a little while, you start to recognize that some years are great and some years are not as much, you know. And so when you're standing on the cusp of a new year, you're like, what kind of year is this going to be? And none of us can know what's going to happen if we're being honest. It's not like anybody gives us a book that says, here's what's going to happen in your life. Here's what's going to happen in the world. Here's what's going to happen in America. We don't know. We're clueless. But the most amazing thing is we love someone who loves us who is not clueless. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And so we can have joy in looking ahead, but I will give this little caveat before I tell you how to have joy in looking ahead. You can't have joy in looking ahead until you've made peace with your past. It can't happen. It just can't. What do you mean, Sandy? What do you mean? What do you mean make peace with your past? Whenever you look back, well, don't look back. No, we all look back sometimes. I don't drive using my rearview mirror, but I check my rearview mirror from time to time. Okay? It's all right to look back once in a while. But when you look back, if you blame yourself or you blame someone else or you blame God, you haven't made peace with your past yet. So you've got to figure out how to make peace with your past. And it doesn't come by going, I will not think about it. I will not think about it. I will not think about it. That's not how to make peace with your past. The way to make peace with your past is to forgive yourself, forgive others, and even forgive God. If that rocks your theology, then just say it this way. Stop blaming him for something that happened and trust that he's going to work it out for your good. Okay? So make peace with your past so you can find joy in looking ahead. Today, I'm going to speak out of one of my favorite passages. It's one of my inheritance. It's in one of my inheritance chapters. That's what Graham Cook calls it. Isaiah 54. It's been prayed over me for about 10 years, I think. And so it's kind of special to me that I get to preach from this passage today, that this is where I felt God told me to speak from, in joy and looking ahead. We're not going to look at the whole chapter. We're going to look at some key verses. Isaiah 54. If you want to take notes, on the back of your announcement card, there's room. So on the back of your announcement card, if you want to jot some notes down, you can do that. If not, there's no pressure, but if you want to. Isaiah 54:1 in the New Living Translation says this: "Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord." If you want joy in looking ahead, sing before you have a reason. Sing before you have a reason. Most of us want to do the reverse. We want to wait until something good happens and then we'll burst out in song. And I think this verse has taught me so many times, Sandy, sing first before you see with your physical eyes the result of the promises of God. Sing before you have a reason. It's amazing. I didn't plan to tell this, but my oldest son, Rem, when he was in high school, he got this job at Pizza Hut. Now, it wasn't his dream job, obviously, but it was a job. He was making some money. And he had the most astute observation. He's always been a really deep thinker. Even as a child, he would have this furrowed brow. Like, I'd tell he was like figuring out the world, you know? And he came home one day, and he was struggling some with some depression during that time. Maybe just the dumps, the blues, whatever you want to call it. He would just have some down, pretty significant down days. And he said, "Mom, I figured something out." And I go, "What?" He goes, "If I go to work and I pretend to be happy, I actually walk away feeling better than when I got there." I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. That doesn't mean you never deal with whatever's making you feel down, but there is something to making a decision to sing before you have a reason. There is something that shifts inside of you that if you just make a decision, I'm going for it, because it's an act of trust in God, you see. It's an act of trust. It's like, God, I'm going to let you handle this for a while. I'm just going to sing before I can have a reason to sing. I'm just going to sing anyway. I'm going to rejoice. It's interesting because I studied this and I was praying on it and meditating on it. I sent the notes off to the tech team so that he could have the screen behind me. And then I found this quote the next day by Graham Cook. It popped up on my Facebook, I think, or Instagram feed by Graham Cook. And he says, "See what is unseen. See what is unseen. Believe what is true for you and walk towards it. Make an investment in the nature of God and the word that he gives you." I'm like, yep, that's what it means to sing before you have a reason. It means I see what God tells me is true, and I'm walking towards it. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to wonder. I'm not going to sit and question. I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going for it. The next thing we learn about looking ahead, joy in looking ahead, is found in the next two verses, Isaiah 54:2-3. "Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." If we want joy in looking ahead to 2018, here's what we have to do. We have to prepare for growth before it happens. We prepare for growth before it happens. I feel like this is so significant. Now, hear me. You know, you guys know I bought a condo this year. Hallelujah. Big, big win in 2017 for me. Big win. But when I say prepare for growth before it happens, I don't mean go take out a mortgage on a place you can't afford. Okay? Because when God talks about growth, sometimes it's physical, but more often in my life, it hasn't been physical. It's been spiritual. And sometimes when you make in the room, when you make a move in the physical, what you have to do, Suzanne could preach a sermon on this, you have to make room. You have to make space to make the move. What does that mean? Purge, baby, purge. Right? Ron and Judy can attest to this. They moved this year. Purge, baby, purge. Like, you, if I could write a manual on moving, it would be 4 months before, go through every closet and every drawer, and purge. Get rid of as much as possible. Bless Habitat for Humanity, really. Bless somebody, whatever. Give away, whatever. Purge. When I think God is telling us enlarge your house, build an addition, I don't think he's saying buy some more stuff. I think he's saying make space for growth. Purge. Purge. Make space for growth, because he wants us to grow. He wants us to be expanding spiritually before it even happens. He wants us to see it, because that's what he has for us. He always has growth for us, always. There's never going to come a time in my life where I can sit down and say, okay, I'm done. I'm done growing now. Never. I mean, isn't that exciting? How boring would it be? If you could reach an age, even if it was 95, how boring would it be to think, okay, I have no purpose left now. I have no growth left in me. I have nothing, no changes ever need to be made again. Like, that would be so boring. God doesn't bore us. He always encourages us to prepare for growth before we see it. So here's a question I have for you. What if we assigned a dollar value to every thought that we had? Okay, let's think about it. If we assigned a dollar value to every thought we had, and then imagine a pie chart. Just imagine it. I almost did one up, but I'm like, too much work. Imagine a pie chart, and all your thoughts that come into alignment with God are in blue, and all of your thoughts that contradict God are in red. And then there's some neutral thoughts, like what color socks am I wearing today? That's a neutral thought. There's really doesn't align or not, you know, it's not red or blue. It's just, so let's put those in yellow. Now, assign a dollar value. Where have you invested your thoughts? What do you replay over and over and over in your brain? When you think about it that way, you start to figure out what you value. Do I value what God values? Do I come into agreement with what he values? Do I say, yes, I agree with that by thinking about it more, by investing my thoughts there? Do you see? Bill Johnson says, joy comes to the believer when we value what God values. That's powerful when you think about it. Joy comes to the believer when we have the same values as God. If God says, you are a treasure and every single thing that happens to you, I will use for your good. If we value that with him, then we have joy. Because there's no striving. There's no, what's going to happen? There's none of that, because we're valuing what he values. That's when you get joy in looking ahead. Isaiah 54, 4 and 5 tells us the next thing. This one kind of shocked me because in all the years I've read this and studied, I didn't really put it together. But he says, "Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Do not be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of your widowhood. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of Heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth." And here's what, I don't know why, struck me this time when I studied it. I felt like, as I was reading it and meditating on it, I felt like, wait, why did he say, don't be afraid? Why would he say, don't be afraid, because you're no longer going to have the shame of your youth? Like, most of us would be like, yes, that wouldn't make us afraid. But you know what? Then I thought, wait, it might. If we've attached our identity to the thing that brings us shame, then it does bring us fear to let go of it. And I felt like if we're going to have joy in looking ahead, we can't be afraid of our new identity. Don't be afraid. It's like God is saying, don't be afraid, because you're no longer going to be identified as the one who has shame and condemnation and abandonment on her or him. Don't be afraid, because I'm giving you a new identity, and that is can be summed up in one word: mine. You're mine. When you're mine, you don't have to be identified as the one who has shame or guilt or whatever. You don't have to be, because you're mine, God says. God says, you're mine. I'm your father. I'm your husband. You're mine. Don't be afraid of your new identity. Let go. I'm amazed at how easily it is for any of us, how easy it is for any of us to attach ourselves to a victim thinking, to a victim mentality. Poor me. My parents did this when I was growing up. So-and-so did this. I did this. I made a mess. It's so easy to go back to that victim stinking thinking. So easy. And here I believe God is saying, no, don't be afraid. Run into your new identity. Run into it. Don't even, okay. Or like this, you know. No, God is saying, run into it. Be free. Don't be afraid of your new identity. And then the last one, I'm going fast because I have something I want to share with you. Isaiah 54, 11 through 13. Oh, storm-battered city, troubled and desolate, I will rebuild you with precious jewels and make your foundations from lapis lazuli. I will make your towers of sparkling rubies, your gates of shining gems, and your walls of precious stones. I will teach all your children, and they will enjoy great peace. I love that he starts out this passage by saying, oh, storm-battered city, troubled and desolate. Because it's like he's not saying, I'm pretending that everything in your life is perfect. That's not what he does. He doesn't do that. He says, oh, storm-battered city, troubled and desolate. And then he says, hold on, I'm going to rebuild you. And when I rebuild, I use the finest, most extravagant materials. Like, who can imagine a tower made of a ruby? Wow. I don't know what lapis lazuli is. I'm sure it's gorgeous, but I don't know. It's what? Blue jewel. Okay. It's dark blue. Okay. I'm sure it's gorgeous. Your gates of shining gems and even your walls are going to be made of precious stones. Like, most walls are made out of 2x4s and some, you know, what do they call that? Drywall. Ugh. No, not when God rebuilds. I did, because if you've ever sanded it, you know it's ugh. When God rebuilds, he uses precious stones to rebuild. Are you feeling any joy for 2018 when you think about it? Like, that just rocks me to think about what God is doing so that I can get excited about the rebuilding. I can get excited about the rebuilding. See, most of us, we have a choice. We can either look at the storm-battered, troubled, desolate city in our hearts, or we can look at the rebuilding. It's pretty much that simple. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. There's a difference. Most of us, for whatever reason, we want to gravitate towards the broken parts. And God says, oh, wait till you see what's coming. Except he does it in a God voice. That wasn't a God voice. Wait till you see what's coming. Isn't it funny how we have these images of what God sounds like? You know, I don't know. He wants us to get excited about looking ahead. And so what I want to do, we're doing something this year called 18. Everybody say 18? Because it's, of course, 2018. So we're going to kind of partner with 2018. Ken, I need your help. Can you help me? Maybe grab somebody to help you. Pass those out. There we go. Willie's going to help you. I love these guys. They're so awesome. Always spot on and ready. So as a church, I'm asking us to take the first 18 days of 2018 and give God 18 minutes every day to encounter him. 18 minutes a day for the first 18 days. Now, I wanted to make it really easy to remember, so 18, that makes sense, right? 18 minutes sounds like a short time until you start focusing on God, and then it's like, oh, this is a long time. Remember the 7 minutes of silent meditation? Remember how when we did that a few years ago, and we were like, oh, my goodness, that is a long time, right? So don't get overwhelmed, but here's what I have for us. Every day, we're going to do something a little different. Like tomorrow, I can't think of a better way to start out the new year than to spend 18 minutes in worship. Now, some of you, that will mean you will turn on music and you will sing praises to God. Some of you are like, ah! No, that's okay. If you're not a singer, that's fine. Just tell God what you love about him for 18 minutes. Either with your spoken voice or in writing or in typing. I mean, however you want to do it. Tell God what you love about him and thank him for who he is in your life. Just thank him. That's tomorrow. 18 minutes to encounter God. Now, before we go any further, I don't want to give anyone the impression that if we do all the right stuff, then we'll get special treatment from God. That's not what this is about. This is about, he's always there. He's always loving you. He's always coming after you. He always wants to encounter you. It's just, are you willing to get rid of some of the other stuff in your life in order to make that connection? That's all. Some of you might find it easier if you fast certain foods. Some of you might find it easier if you fast something like, I don't know, computer or TV or whatever, electronics. I don't know. But it's not about that. It's really about setting your heart towards God. Because the moment you set your heart towards God, he loves encountering you. He loves it. So tomorrow will be worship. January 2nd will be read Romans 5, 1 through 5. Now, when you read the passage, and that's going to take you about a minute. And you have 17 minutes left. Right? Set a timer on your phone if that helps. I will. So you read the passage, then you meditate on that passage and ask God, what are you saying to me through this passage? What are you saying to me for my family? What are you saying to us for Oak River? What do you, is there something you want to heal inside of my heart through that passage? Like, just interact with that passage. You might want to write it down somewhere. You might want to say it 5 times out loud. I mean, there's so many different ways you can meditate on a scripture. And you will be amazed at the time that you spend thinking about it, new things will come to light. Like today, I mean, with that passage this week that I studied in Isaiah, I've never noticed that it says, do not be afraid, you'll no longer live in shame. I didn't recognize that was an identity issue. Didn't even put that together. That's what happens when you meditate on scripture. You start seeing new things in it, and it starts becoming very personal. It becomes like, whoa, this is like a love letter to me from God. So look at the passage and meditate on it, okay? The third one might be the most challenging for some of you, and the third one might be the most exciting for some of you. So don't sweat it, okay? Day 3, create. Create. I wanted to make room for this one because some of us are, all of us are creative, even if we don't know it. It might have been slapped out of us at some point through life, but we are all creative. So what do you like to create? I tried to give some examples there. Write, paint, dance, make something that expresses your heart to God. Bake, whatever it is that you do that you feel close to God when you do this. Creating might be going for a walk in nature and drawing, doing a pencil drawing of something you see. Like, it can be anything. But just spend 18 minutes creating something that expresses your heart to God or His heart to you in your heart, in your mind. Okay? And then we cycle through. Day 4 is pray. And we have a prayer focus for that day. Pray for your family. And I'm going to give you a little hint on praying for your family. Pray for the one that irritates you the most. And then don't go tell them, I prayed for you a lot today. Because prayer changes your heart towards someone. It may not change them. It changes your heart. And ask God, please give me eyes to see them the way you see them. And then when you pray for your family, ask God, what dreams do you have for our family in 2018? What things do you want to see happen in our family in 2018? And just pray for them. Okay? And then it just cycles through those 4 times throughout the rest of the time. But here's the cool thing, right? So months ago, we planned a worship night on January 19th. And then later is when I felt like God gave me this idea of 18. And then I started doing out the days, and I'm like, are you kidding me? It ends on the day that we're supposed to have our night of worship. How cool is God? Like, He thinks of those details. I didn't think of that. I'm not that smart. Most of you know I'm not that intelligent. That's all right. God is. He covers for me. So when I'm typing up the pages or the dates, I'm like, huh, what? So I sent an email to Raj and Megan, and I'm like, guess what? I said, here's what I'm thinking of doing, and it ends on our night of worship. So when we come together for our night of worship on January 19th, we'll have been for 18 days encountering God for 18 minutes, and we are going to have so much to share with each other. It's going to be amazing. Now, some of you like paper, some of you don't. That's all right. We love everybody here. I will put this on my fridge or in my bedroom, probably by my Bible in my bedroom. Probably that's where it'll go. It'll go somewhere because I like paper. Some of you say, don't give me no paper. Please text me a reminder every day. If that's you, I will definitely send you a reminder text. Take out your connection card. Just put, send me a reminder, please, and put your phone number. And drop it in the box on your way out, and I will send you a reminder every day of what we're doing. If you're more electronic in nature, I'll be happy to do that on one condition. Anybody know what the condition is who love group text or hate group text? Don't reply. Exactly. Because if I send out a group text to 40 people and you hit reply, then it turns into a group mail mess. Thank you. We don't want that. So don't reply. You don't even say thank you. Just enjoy. I will trust that you're grateful and we'll move on. Okay. So if that's you, I'll be happy to send you a text reminder of what we're doing every day. And we can be as one. Now, if you know someone who's not here, obviously there's a lot of people missing today because they're out of town for the holiday or whatever, or maybe they stayed in bed on this snowy day. I don't know. Worshiping with Brother Sheet and Sister Pillow, they used to say. In Bible college, that's what they used to say all the time. Oh, like, no. If you know them, can you take an extra one of these and get it to them or send information to them? We are going to put it on Facebook. So if they're on Facebook, then they'll get it there. But a lot of people don't do Facebook. So we just want to make sure all of our church family is aware of what we're doing, even the ones who aren't here today. So help people. Help me spread the word. And I'm excited to hear. If you have testimonies that come out of this time, don't wait until the 19th. Email me or call me or text the church office and say, please have Sandy call me. Some things, communicate with us because we live on testimonies around here. We love celebrating together. And if the only time we're together is for a crisis, we're lopsided. Let's celebrate together well. So if you encounter the Lord in some special way and you want to share it, bring it. I love to hear that. Okay. If you're in, say I'm in. All right, 18 and 18. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. God, I thank you for these lovely people who brave the snow and the bitter cold to come out and honor you, not only as a way of looking ahead, but also making peace with the past. And I just pray a blessing over every single one of them, as well as those who couldn't be here. I thank you that you've already promised your favor to rest on us. Help us to remember that it's resting on us so that we can approach you from that place of knowing how pleased you are with us. How pleased you are.